American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
The Coaches Network, bringing the game together.
You now listen to The Coaches Network, a podcast aiming to bring people at the heart of player development together. My name is Coach Yas, a UEFA A licensed and FA goalkeeping B licensed coach with over 10 years experience working in youth football from grassroots right through to Premier League academies. I'm currently operating as an affiliate tutor for the FA, alongside working towards a master's in performance football coaching. I'll be sitting down with coaches, coach educators, and key figures in the game to have free-flowing conversations and discuss the challenges, lessons learned, and effective trends in the coaching world today. As usual, I'll be joined by my co-hosts,
Ahmed,
Ben, and Sherlyn.
Welcome back, fellas. How's everyone today?
Yeah, we're there.
Good. All good.
Good stuff. So today we're going to be looking at some of the challenges that we've faced and potentially how we've overcome them, and if we've got any suggestions for the listeners around how to deal with certain, encounters with parents. Anyone want to start us off with any particular challenges they've faced or, you know, they've experienced through others or they're currently dealing with even?
Mm.
No? All right, cool. Mm. So what we'll do then, what we'll do, guys, is if we can just kind of explore around some of the challenges that we have faced. It doesn't have to be anything in particular, but some of the challenges that we could face, and maybe we can go into some examples off the back of that. So I know certainly some of the challenges that I've faced in the past with parents, obviously, you know, you get the age-old stereotypical situation where you've got the parents on the sideline in games where they're trying to get too involved in what's happening. You know, I've had situations where I'm at a club, in particular with academies, where maybe the parents are too involved and maybe too hard on the players at times. You know, I'm sure you guys have dealt with similar situations. I mean, I've even had other situations where actually a player's come in on a trial at an academy, for instance, where, you know, generally you'll be put on a 6-week trial, and 2 weeks in, the parents like, well, are you going to sign my kid or not? You know, these some of the everyday challenges that some of us coaches either have faced or are currently facing or maybe will face in the future. You got any particular instances which are kind of on your minds right now that kind of stand out for you in your past experiences?
Yeah, for me, one of the most difficult situations I've been in terms of with a parent was at a match day. It was grassroots football as well, and everyone that participated at for the club or players, parents, like they understood that we were there for player development. We wasn't really about winning leagues or winning cups or making sure we get 3 points on a Saturday. It was players need to continually develop. And a way that I kind of made that approach is I had like a spreadsheet where I literally made sure every single player, regardless of their ability, played within 2 to 3 minutes of the time.
How do you mean by that?
So no one would play 40 minutes and someone would stand there for 0 minutes and watch the games. So for some parents, they notice that some of the kids are not quite up to standard as some of the other ones. So they questioned me like openly in front of the kids, why are you playing him? Why are you playing that? And everyone can hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
So I didn't like that at all. So I literally had to kind of nip it in the bud and say, listen, you can talk afterwards. You can have a cup of coffee, but let's just concentrate on the match. And he's like, no, like, we can win this game, and so on and so forth and whatnot. So it just got to the point where I had to put, like, another coach from our setup that wasn't even with me. I just asked him to watch the game, manage it for 5-10 minutes while I spoke to this parent.
Mm.
That much of a distraction. I mean,
so just a question then, obviously, coming back to the initial part of what you said that your environment was known for developing players. And can you just, go into a bit of detail around how that was established and, I guess, that was presented to the parents and what the kind of initial response from that? Because obviously there's been many times we say, oh yeah, this environment set up for this environment set up for that, but parents easily can lose sight of that purpose, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it I think when you get success or relative success, it's like the parents, well, that parent in particular was expecting the other kids to keep up with his child, but that's unrealistic. And if there is a core of seven players that are doing really well and it's a seven-a-side team, he was expecting me just to play them seven and the rest can kind of learn by not playing at all.
Interesting.
So that was his main kind of approach. And mine's the complete opposite. No, if anything, the weaker ones should play more than the strong ones because they need to develop more. So it just got back to the point where it's like, listen, you know, this is the direction that the club wants to move in. We're not really about winning stuff. We just want players to get better every day, every session, every match. Whether that means players play out of position, they try new positions, or they're playing with kids that you see as being weaker. That's just how it is. And I said to him, like, with all due respect, it's not like we're a professional academy where you're expecting the standard to be the same. We're a grassroots club.
But it's interesting you say that, because I think even in academies, and I'm sure Ben and Sherlin can obviously, you know, back this up, even then, there can be a disparity in the level of ability. I mean, obviously, they're generally across the board, that group of players that you might be working with might be a higher standard than what you'd expect in grassroots, but there can be some disparities in there as well.
Yeah, but the variance in abilities, I'm assuming in grassroots, is a lot wider than it is in academies, because at least you're expecting academy players to have some sort of grassroots experience as a minimum, whereas some grassroots players, literally, that could be their first encounter of football, like literally could be their first steps into football.
Definitely. So then,
but yet they're playing with other kids that could have been in academies for 2-3 years and then dropped back out. And so
in that environment, how important, and I guess how important would you say it is for parents to be, I guess, aware of the standard, quote unquote, of the players within the environment before they actually participate and send their child or their players to that environment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that was the only part of his argument that I agreed with, because I didn't run that club and I totally understood his point of view, because his main point of view was that, listen, if you're going to have kids come in partway through the season and they're expected to join this team, you know, they need to kind of be embedded a bit more so they know what they're doing, so it's not really like head and shoulders and like someone's really bad and someone's really good, so there's a balance in the team, which I agree
then
with.
How much of a role should the environment then play in that, to say actually this child or this particular player coming into this group of players that we've got here is actually not going to be good enough, therefore can we turn them away and maybe signpost them to elsewhere? Because I think this is some of the challenges that we face, aren't we?
Yeah, but in the real world, when you've got someone that is running a club and they've got a parent that's willing to pay the full season price halfway through the season just to get their kid there, and they're going to train once a week with a good set of boys and they're going to play football, the owner's going to take the money and the parent's going to take the opportunity. It's just up to the coach to manage the situation. My biggest problem was I didn't want the situation to happen during the match. You know what I mean? It was kind of addressed slightly during training, like, oh, we've got new kids joining in and so on and so forth. But that wasn't really my job to delegate that kind of information to the parents. I'm just basically letting the parents know, I've been told this kid's in my group, this is the way I operate, everyone needs to develop, so they're all going to play pretty much the same amount of time when it comes to
matches. Sure, so I mean...
The only exception I did slightly have, even with that age group, was when it was the actual cup, because we agreed as a group, league is purely development, coaching is purely development, but when it comes to the cup matches, we'd possibly play our strongest team. And players might not be playing as much as they used to in the league.
So just on that then, how much of a heads up, so to speak, would the players and the parents get regarding that sort of thing?
Zero. So literally a kid will just turn up at training and it's like, yeah, this is Tommy. Everyone welcome Tommy.
No, I mean, in terms of obviously you touched on there that selecting maybe a stronger set of players, in particularly for your cup games. What kind of, how does that process
work? How that come about was, this actually come from the players, so that's why I didn't mind it. It didn't come from the parents, nothing. It was the players. The players were like, listen, we want to try and win something, whether it be the league or the cup. And I basically said to them, the league, there's too many games for us to try and prioritize to win, because then a lot of you are not going to play. So if you guys want to go down that route where we're going to prioritize something, we can prioritize the cup. And if everyone's okay with not playing the same amount of time during cup matches, then we'll take that route.
Mm. So now, I guess, you know, you touched on there that you've had to have those conversations with the parents around what the setup is. how much support did you get from, I guess, the club or the organisation you're working for, whether that be the chairman or someone senior to you, I guess, in delivering that message, or were you kind of just left to it to deliver that message?
No, just no, literally no guidance, no nothing, just, you know, manage the situation.
So go on.
And the main thing to do, like, as the coach, is you just want to diffuse any situation with a parent, especially if they are a bit emotional or getting upset about something, because it's just going to be worse if you reflect their emotions. It's just going to be an argument. You just need to be like, it is what it is. If you have any problems, just redirect your concerns to the owner of the club, because I can't really do much. Yeah.
So I think in those moments, then, you know, I guess there's no doubt there's going to be listeners out there and coaches who've probably gone through similar things and maybe haven't quite got the outcome they were looking for off the back of it. If you were to advise someone going into a situation or about to face that situation now or currently in the situation, what would your advice be to them around maybe how to deal with that, or maybe who to reach out to? Is it something that maybe they should be dealing with their seniors and advising them that actually you need to take part of this or to get involved in this part of the process as well?
Yeah, for me, as the coach, if I was an absolute decision maker for the club, then I'd approach this completely different. But just as a coach within a setup, it's very, very important that you kind of give validation to their complaint, because they are saying it for a reason.
Yeah.
So you can't just write off and be like, no, this is how it is and that's it. You like it. If you don't, you don't. No, there needs to be a bit of dialogue, but their parent needs to be aware that there's only so much that can be done from my end, because I'm not where the buck stops. I'm pretty much getting told what to do, and I'm managing the situation. So I hope you can appreciate that from my point of view as well. So, and they do kind of tend to be a bit more understanding when they realize that we're in the same boat. I didn't decide to have this new player. You didn't want a new player joining the group halfway through the season, but it is what it is. So we just got to manage it best we can, and arguing and shouting is not really going to achieve much, especially during a match and in front of kids where everyone can hear us. But the conversation should happen, but it should be in like a better environment where people that can actually influence decisions are present as well, in my opinion. But again, a lot of parents just assume that their point of contact and their point of complaint is the coach, and the coach does get a lot of it and the brunt of it at times. So it's just very important to manage the situation.
Sure, and I guess just on that last one there, do you feel the parents are wrong in that assumption, or do you think there should be more guidance for the parents in that respect? Because I feel like, for me, in my experience, and
for me, the customer is always right. If someone
personally necessarily had bad intentions around how, but you know, essentially their heart is in the right place, but maybe the behavior and of the way they deal with the situation can obviously be overridden by emotions and at times and other you know, different factors. Yeah. So I think in those moments there, what do you, you know, is there any advice that you can give to parents potentially that might be listening to this, that might have players of their own, you know, children of their own as players in other teams or organizations that might be going through a similar situation?
Yeah. I think for parents, it's important that they understand that their coach most probably can't make any decisions regarding who plays in their squad. They literally just pick who plays on the match day, for example. Anyone else that wants to join the group or sign the papers, that's really out of their control. In terms of parents and their complaints, that's the whole reason why I didn't just disregard this conversation with the parents. The only thing I didn't like was the time and the place it was taking place. But the conversation was very relevant. And plus, I'm of the mentality, if someone's paying for a service, they have every right, respectfully and politely, to ask what they want.
Is that necessary? Again, I'm just playing devil's advocate. Is that necessarily the case? If you've identified clearly, this is the environment that we've got set up. This is how we're going to approach it. This is it. This is exactly what it is. This is what you sign up to. And then the parent then decides, I'm going to sign up to that. Do they then still have that same right to, I guess, bring up issues which potentially go against or aren't fully congruent with what they've signed into, if that makes sense?
Yeah, but then if you've signed up to something for the whole season and you expect it to be like that.
But what I mean is the expectation, because sometimes we can say, all right, this is the expectation, but this is what actually you've signed up for. Now, your expectation might be different to what the actual product is, essentially, if that makes sense. So I think in that sense, you think it's times where parents can actually start maybe trying to, I don't want to say complain, but actually maybe inquire about things which are additional to what's been signed up for, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. They have absolutely every right to do that. But just how they do it is very important. How and when they do it is very, very important to me. Because it can end up being too...
it can become confrontational. Like
if they do it at the wrong time and place, yeah, non-confrontational. Mm. It can't be during a match, you know, because emotions are high and, you know, there's a lot of people just, you know, listening and watching. But they have every right. They have
just one more question. I'm just thinking back about the scenario that you were discussing there. Had you not had a co-coach available to you that day, how would you have dealt with that?
I would have literally, like, he wasn't leaving me alone, so I was literally going to have the conversation either way. I can tell. Like, I have a bit of experience behind myself, so it's like, I can tell this man was really upset. He wasn't going to take, you know, I'll talk to you later as an answer. He wanted the conversation there and then, so I would have had to have maybe got one of the parents that are always there. Listen, just make sure, you know, no one's getting hurt. If someone does get hurt, just make sure, you know, they're not playing injured, and I'll literally just be 5 minutes. And obviously they can see the situation that's going on. And I had that rapport with my parents where I can maybe like entrust one or two of them just to like keep an eye on all of the players rather than their child if there was no one else there.
Right. And I guess
because I thought it was a really bad situation going on.
And
so
I guess this is a question for all three of you, really. I mean, in those moments, is there ever a time where you have to just tell the parent, no, this discussion can wait, and just they have to accept it almost?
Yeah, you can do that, but when you think a guy is going to possibly slap you or push you or punch you because he sees you as just ignoring the situation, then that's not a good outcome for yourself.
No, but ultimately what I'm getting at is there a way in which you can tackle it? Do you feel there's a way? And obviously Ben and Shell, feel free to jump in as well. If there's a way to tackle that situation with making it clear, right, I'm taking on board your concern or your query, but we're not going to deal with it in this moment.
I said that to him.
Right.
He didn't have it as well.
What did that look like? And I guess on reflection, is there another way that maybe you think you could have approached it to, I guess, get that outcome to go forward?
I offered to buy him a cup of coffee after the game. I said, listen, I'm going to get you a cup of coffee. We can talk about it. And I'll pass on your concerns to, you know, the people that make the decisions, basically. But I can't really do this now. But he was not having it. So it was going to happen there and then. So I had to manage the situation as best I could. But yeah, and I even resolved the conversation with that gentleman. I said to him, listen, if it worked the other way, where you wanted the best players playing, what if we got someone that just dropped out of an academy halfway through a season? He plays in your kid's position and we don't swap positions and your kid's just standing there for 0 minutes every match, then he's playing all the other minutes. And he couldn't really say nothing to it because that's what he wanted me to do. You know what I mean? And fair enough, but I understood his point of view because a kid technically shouldn't really be joining halfway through the season. And
why not?
You know, disrupting the rest of the team. Because that's not what the parents
The process that parents signing up to your organization, the organization made it clear no players are going to join us this season.
Yeah, there was this.
But was it something that was declared as specified? This is not going to happen.
I'm not sure. I didn't see the black and whites of the paperwork, but from my assumptions, parents were under this kind of idea that the players that we started with, the group that we started with, they all signed up for the whole year. They're all committed for the whole year and we're going to stay together for the year and it's not going to break up the group or nothing's going to come in or out. Unless it was like a good opportunity for the player to potentially go to a...
But on the other side, if a parent decides it or midway through, actually we're going to find a better environment, they'd be happy to do that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but then that's up to them. That's up to them. But they all signed up, like, you know, to do the whole season.
So, yeah. Interesting. Ben, sure. What are your thoughts in that? Have you guys got any similar experiences and, you know, any suggestions to how you might go about dealing with that situation?
Yeah, it's kind of sounds a bit unique because I don't think I've been in a situation that extreme. But like just in relation to the whole sort of parents approaching coaches like during sessions and matches and stuff. It's going to sound a bit extreme, but I probably have a bit more of a zero tolerance to it. And I probably set that precedent. That precedent is kind of set to... I'm just remembering when I was in, you know, more grassroots, sort of setting, or like environments where there was a bit more, shall we say, like less structured to it. That, like, in terms of parents, that like I'm definitely open to talking to them and communicating with them in terms of any issues they have and stuff like that. But I'm not going to do it during the session. I'm not going to do it during the match. That by all means, any time before and after, we can have whatever discussion it is. Just in terms of like the more common sort of problems that I see coaches having with parents is just it's like the perception of the parents' child. To them, in comparison to how you see them. So, one of the more common ones is like a positional problem sort of thing. So, like, identify, like, for, you know, this player's needs, that, like, they will need to play at right back, for example, just to help with, like, I don't know, assisting their 1v1 defending and stuff like that. The 1v1 defending potentially crossing... crossing situations, etc. And they feel like their kid is a good finisher, so they should play up front. So having those sort of discussions there, and, you know, trying to explain to them why you're doing what you're doing. And I do feel like, even though I know a lot of coaches feel that these parents don't really need that explanation, that is just between you and... is you and the players, etc. You know, I do believe they do. I believe they play a huge part in the players' development. And Ahmed already touched on it. Like, you know, they are kind of like a second coach to the player. So, like, those drive homes, those journeys homes after training and after matches that they've seen, like, they're very integral in, like, pinning down what players have learnt in them. So, like, it's really important that you can, not that you're necessarily trying to convince them, you're not trying to convince them of what you're doing, but you're explaining to them why you're doing what you're doing so they understand it. They don't have to necessarily agree, and we can have a lengthy discussion about it, but as far as you are doing... You know that you have good intentions with their kid, because once again, I understand that it's not necessarily our responsibility to explain every single thing, but, like, you know, we have a duty of care to these kids, and they're giving their kids over to us for a certain amount of time in the week. So, like, I feel like, you know, it's just like sort of like basic due diligence. If they do have reasonable questions to ask, then we should answer.
Yes, you've just touched on there about, you know, essentially about creating a transparent environment.
Yeah.
How much and to what extent do you feel that information should be volunteered or requested? So either volunteered by yourself as the coach or requested by the parent? Do you feel that the parent should know everything that you're doing?
No, not necessarily. Firstly, in terms of information being volunteered and requested, I wouldn't necessarily go and volunteer it. If it's asked, then I'll explain. But I feel like, you know, in terms of me with my relationship with players, I tend to be honest anyway. So, like, if there is a question from a parent, I would assume that is. And, you know, what's being said to the player is probably being misinterpreted, because I'm assuming that information is being translated. And in terms of, like, letting them know absolutely everything, not necessarily, but, like, if I'm asked it, I'll try and be as honest as I can around the situation. So, for example, like I was in a situation in my previous club where it was a direct order from like the technical director above that, like we had to play our best players up. So it wasn't like some sort of rotation of players in the age groups that are going to play up. It's like he wanted two or three of the best players in each age group playing up.
And just on that one, can you clarify what you determine as the best player? Is that from a technical standpoint or just...
I think it was more of a holistic standpoint, but it's once again just down to perception at that point. A perception of not... It wasn't only me that was involved in this decision-making of who the best players are. It's like of the stakeholders that, you know, I've seen them train and play across the season and stuff. With that, you know, I had to have some very honest discussions with parents when they were asking me, like, why is their child not playing up and this child is playing up all the time? And, you know, I just had to explain it as honest as I can. I wasn't going to explicitly say to them that it's because we don't consider your kid to be one of the best in the age group. It's just that, you know, this is the new sort of club protocol. And going forward, this is the players that we identified that will be good for their needs to play up.
Mm.
Can I just say something? I think it's really, really unfortunate and unfair on coaches to get put in these kind of situations. The communication from the decision makers or the technical director or the owners of the club needs to be clear and precise directly to the parents so they know what's going on, because, you know, it's just not fair. And I don't know if anyone else agrees with me, but I think them kind of conversations...
No, we don't agree.
..have to kind of bend the truth a bit, and it's... Yeah. I don't think it's...
No, I agree with what you're saying, but it's like, I guess it's naturally either... I've seen it so many times where like a communication system will be paid out clearly to a parent of like, if you have problems with this, you go to this person, you go to this person. Like, just because the coach always tends to be like the... What's the word I'm looking for? Like
point of contact.
Yeah, the first point of contact all the time, they tend to always go to them and whatnot. And then naturally you would hope there's a system in place that you can direct them to the right personnel to go talk to them that. Whereas I understand within a grassroots structure that tends to be a bit more fluid in that sense there. So it is hard to give like a one size fit all sort of advice in terms of what coaches should do in such environments there, that you really need to treat it as a case by case basis and try to but the one thing I would say is that you need to try to be as honest as you can about the situation. Because like you can't be lying to a parent about their kid when your best interest should be the child all the time.
It does happen, doesn't it?
It shouldn't be about pleasing the parent. So like sometimes the truth may not sound nice, but it will need to be said for the betterment of the kid.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the coaches. I don't think the coach should be in that position. I don't agree with that. I agree the truth should be told, but I don't feel it should be that kid's like coach that, you know, because they ultimately didn't make that decision. It come from above the coach.
What about if it was?
You know what I mean? Fair enough, if it comes from the coach. Yeah, then if it was, then that's different. But if it's coming from like someone above saying, listen, him, they got to go to this group now. And if anyone asks you why, whatever, you can tell them. I don't think that's fair, because then they're gonna think it's you that made that decision. Oh, so why don't you think my kid's better than him? Why?
You're definitely right. I've certainly been in a situation in the past where that's happened to me, where I've been at a club, you know, essentially making a decision on signing players and looking at two particular players and I guess comparing and contrasting which one to go with. And I'm privileged enough to say I've been working with that player on a regular basis, so I have got direct access and observation of what this player has been able to achieve and demonstrate for me. But the person making the decision is someone who's not in that same capacity. They're making the decision from a different perspective, and rather than looking at solely who's the best candidate, they've almost in that situation gone against, I guess, my recommendation as someone who's actually observing this player on a regular basis, decided they're going to go with a different player, and then essentially left the buck with me to kind of explain that decision. But obviously then it puts you in a compromising position, because if you don't agree with the decision, you've got to be able to, I guess, explain that decision without, and I guess, remaining impartial in that respect, which can obviously be another challenge, another difficulty, which, you know, puts the coach in. But I think at the end of the day, you've, in that particular instance, my thing is, right, the player is not going to get signed. How can I help the player? Whether that be signposting them to elsewhere, whether that be giving trying to push them onto different opportunities elsewhere, whatever that may look like. So I think it can be quite a challenging situation, and I can. But a lot of people, they do put coaches in these positions where they don't have to deal with the backlash, essentially. I think you're right, Ahmed. I don't think it is fair necessarily, but
it's not.
Unfortunately, it is the way things are sometimes, and we've got to. I guess look at how to deal with that. I mean, for me personally, I'm quite, like I said, you know, I'm quite headstrong at times, so I'm quite opinionated. I'll just say what's on my mind, really. So, in that situation,
like even in that situation, yes, if you said to the parent, "Listen, I was back."
Oh, I did. I told the parent.
Then they're gonna look at you. They might even look at you, and be like, "Well,
this is the other problem, right?
For example, or this and that." So it's the double whammy for you and them. So it's like it's just a bad situation all around.
100%. And the thing is, it's a difficult one, because what you've got to remember, and this is kind of what you were touching on the other day: who's paying your bills?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't negate that, and you can't just completely forget about that. It is important to remember that, but. At the same time, and this is why I say to coaches, work in an environment that you actually that's actually aligned with your values and beliefs. To an extent, it's not going to be exactly as you maybe want it all the time. But be mindful that actually, if you're going to work in an environment, there's going to be times where maybe the things don't go the way maybe you want them to. But there's also going to be times where actually you might have to just stand up for what you believe in. And I'm not saying, you know, risk your whole career on one player not getting into that position that you wanted them to get into, or whatever that is. But definitely, I would advise coaches, think about the type of environment you're in, and I guess what impact and what influence you think you can have in there. But don't be, I guess, blind to the fact that you might not have that influence straight away. And I'm talking more specifically in terms of, I guess, an academy environment in this particular context. Some of the grassroots coaches may not necessarily have those same challenges, or maybe the challenge presents itself differently. So I definitely think it is something to consider. And I think if you ever feel like you're in a position where that you have been, I guess your integrity and your position has been compromised to an extent, you definitely should be speaking up and, I guess, raising those concerns to whoever the necessary people are in that respect.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I know a coach that has done that.
But then,
it depends on how they're doing, because like I feel there's ways of going about it that doesn't necessarily always has to be confrontational, where you're just actually saying your views. So like in this context here, I did bring it up, and I talked about the fact that I don't necessarily agree with the system that we're trying to do, and obviously brought up the obvious effects of it, that there is players that are going to see their teammates getting chosen to, like, the only three of their teammates getting chosen to play up, and know that there's a clear disparity there. And with that, it obviously just got, the notion got rejected, and then that's what's led to, parents coming up to me to ask me questions in regards to it. Went back to the...
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
the man above, and then I told him what's going on, and then he's saying to me to direct them to him. So at least I know that doesn't necessarily solve the problem, but I'm not the one that has to take the consequences for it.
Yeah, but Ben, how bad would it make you look? Yeah, if you're saying to them, I'm gonna pass you on to Yaz, and then Yaz says, I don't know what Ben's talking about.
And that could quite easily happen as well. Yeah.
And it happens a lot. Literally, because they don't want to deal with it because they want to go home to have their dinner or whatever it is, because they know that conversation is going to take an extra 45 minutes that they're not going to get paid for. When they can just say, well, Ben shouldn't have said that to you. I'll have a word with him. He should have dealt with it. You know what I mean? But you were clearly told, no, send them to me. And a lot of that does happen. So, and yeah, like I said, it's just manage the situation, but a lot of the conversations, it's not fair on the coach. I'd say about 80% of the conversations that happen with parents and coaches, it shouldn't be directed at the coach. I know they're the point of contact, but
you say they're the point of contact, but they're only in some cases the first point of contact and not.
Yeah, but when it comes to them kind of decisions, they're not really the person to be asked them questions. Whether especially at grassroots, maybe not so at academy, but definitely at grassroots, because. Yeah, but yeah, nah, just, yeah, a lot of things that happen that shouldn't happen to coaches and they don't even know what's going on.
Is it a bad thing, though? Because I always kind of, no, but I always feel
it is a bad thing, I think.
I always feel like, there's a lot of coaches that may have, potential, like, long-term aspirations of working within first team football, and like from the rare like interactions I've had with like professional first team players and whatnot, and some coaches, they do talk about like these experiences of some really difficult conversations that they do have to have with players and with other stakeholders involved within the club. So like, is it like necessarily a bad thing to go through such experiences, at like youth level?
No, it's not bad to experience them, but you need to be equipped on how to experience them. You need to know about the situation as well, because you might end up getting into a situation where you can't coach no more for a period of time. If you have a
heat or can't coach no more in respect
physical, you know what I mean. So it's like, if say for example I've said something to a parent and then you don't know nothing about it, Ben, and they've come to talk to you about it, and they're like, no, in your face. You were supposed to know. They told me you would know. You're going to give me the answers right now. No. And it gets physical. And
I've never been in an extreme situation like that.
No, but I'm just saying, though, like some coaches are young. They don't have the tool or the skill set to handle these situations. And it's like, if someone gets in their face, and a lot of the coaches that we know, they're from a background, when someone gets in your face, you look after yourself. You know what I mean? So it's like, I've seen it a lot. It's like, you see some coaches, they're young. They don't know, really know how to handle them situations, and they end up getting in trouble. And it's not fair. So that's why it's very important just to manage the situation, always try and just diffuse it, and just not pass the buck or pass the blame, but know that in the back of your head, and I'm talking to the grassroots coaches here, know that in the back of your head, someone's maybe just passing the situation on to you to handle it when it shouldn't be that case. So just remember that and don't take it to heart and don't get too upset about it or too emotional, take it personally, just take it for what it is and just keep calm, because I've seen it happen a few times, and yeah, I don't like it personally.
Interesting. So I mean, in terms of, I guess, other situations, have you had any other encounters with parents where you feel like, okay, you know what, that went well, or they didn't go quite well in terms of how you dealt with it? And I think it's just, it's important to obviously touch base as well, that parents play different roles within, I guess, the development of their players or supporting their players. Some are there on match day, some do support in that capacity. For some, it's simply just being transport, depending on what age and stage those players may be at. So I think it's important to kind of highlight that as well. I know that, like I said, certainly from my perspective, I've had situations where, parents I've never met one that's been bad intention or has bad intentions for the player, or they just want to support the player in the only way or the best ways they know they can. For some of them, it is lack of experience and understanding of the environments they're in. with regards to how they might then go and support that player. So, you know, like I said, I touched on it briefly earlier. I had a player who I'd particularly been working with, you know, come in on a trial, knowing that it's a six-week trial, that decisions will be made essentially at the end of that six-week period. But the parent is, you know, constantly badgering different members of staff on a almost fortnightly basis or bi-weekly basis, rather, around what the latest is. Why, you know, when is the player going to get signed? When's the player going to sign? You know, this particular player had experiences. You know, he's been on trial at three or four other clubs prior to the, coming to this club that I was working with, and it later then came out a similar situation had occurred at all these other clubs, when actually, you know, the parent is having such a negative impact on that player, not realizing that actually these opportunities which you think you're getting access to, you're actually personally taking them away from that player as well, because of your conduct, and not actually realizing that actually this is not going to benefit the player. And just because, and I think this is where I guess a lot of parents probably need support as well, especially where they've got kids who are maybe potentially on the verge of either getting into an academy or going on trial into that pathway.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. The parents need to understand that sometimes their kids get declined because of them.
Mm.
Literally. It's like if you've got two players, one's, they're exactly the same, the players, but you've got one parent that's always going to be constantly nagging you, and one that's, you know, just goes with the flow. You need to understand that might come into consideration if it's that close.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, you know, like I said, in this particular instance, it's then, I guess, you know, it'd be interesting to get your views. How much of a role should the coach play in obviously advising that parent otherwise, and or giving the parent a perspective of their impact? Because as you said that there, Ahmed, you know, that you had that parent that you had to speak to in the moment. Some parents, even if you leave it later on, they still don't want to see it. And it's almost...
No, I can tell. Like, I'm 34, 35, so I'm quite experienced. And this happened when I was in my mid-20s. So it's like, I can tell this guy just wanted to have an argument. It didn't matter. He just wanted to have an argument there and then. Like, he had enough, you know, which is fair enough. I kind of saw his point of view because I'm quite an understanding person. But, you know, he just wanted to have an argument. And whether I was going to look at him in the face, he was going to carry on just standing there having the conversation. So it's like you just got to defeat that situation at times.
Yeah, like like I haven't necessarily been in that much of a hostile like situation with a parent. Usually they'll come to me with.
That's because you're 6 foot three, Ben.
Yeah, I honestly, I feel like it does play its part. Honestly, I feel like it does play its part because. Like I've been in setups where like coaches have warned me about particular parents or whatnot, being aggressive towards them, and then like those are the parents that I probably had, you know, the clearest sort of, the best sort of like relations with, and I don't know if that particularly plays a factor into it, but like I feel a good way of coaches kind of navigating around it, especially within grassroots setup, is probably becoming familiar, but not too close to parents. So, like, getting to know the parents from a distance. So, like, knowing the sort of background that parents come from. So, like, an example I can give is that, like, in the previous club that I was at, the parent had, the dad had, like, a background of playing non-league football and was a centre-back. Like literally, you can think about it, the stereotypical, like run to earth sort of mindset, and you can see that kind of, like that sort of mindset is translated to their child as well. So with the child, like they were very good actually at like their 1v1 sort of defending and like distances between their units when the team were out of possession, etc. But in terms of like technically on the ball and understanding where to be when we're in possession, they struggled a lot. So like I attended to before I came, that player was playing like in the past couple of seasons just in one position, and for me and my sort of like non-negotiables when it comes to sort of youth football. I don't believe a player should be like narrowed down to one position at such an early age, being that they were 13 at that time. And so if you think about it, from a younger age, they were only playing one position, centre-back. So with that, I started to just do like, three 4-week windows where they're playing in different positions in the games programme. And the parent, naturally, as I expected, because I got familiar and I knew the sort of person it is, came up to me eventually to ask me, like, why are they playing in different positions? And so, so that being said, like, if you do become just familiar with them and get to know the background of these parents, you can, to a point, sort of, like, start to anticipate what would provoke certain reactions from them, and sort of anticipate that interaction before he's even come.
I think it's quite interesting you said, obviously, essentially you talk about developing a closer relationship with the parents there and having that understanding with them to kind of really see their view on things. And can you be in danger, though, of seeing too much of their view?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, obviously becoming familiar with them, but you're not their friend and whatnot. You're not their friend. Is just, and I'm not even. If you notice in the example I gave, I did in any of the decision making that came to, any decision making that has got to do with the development of the player, I didn't take in mind what the parent is. What I took in mind is the reaction that it will get. That's it. Like other than that, like my onus is to develop their child as well as I can in the period that I'm coaching them. And it was always going to be that. There's no other factor that will come into it. Not me, not them. It's just the child in that environment. So with that, all I consider with the parent is anticipating their reaction to it, but they will never be involved in why I'm doing something or what I'm doing with their kid, because naturally, when they give you over to whatever organization it is, be it a grassroots club or academy, they expect they are inadvertently saying they trust you with being the guardian for the temporary guardian for their child in that time period of the sessions and the matches that you're doing that week.
Yeah. And I think, just for both of you, really, I mean, have you guys got any tips for any coaches that are out there now? Like I said, or coach, even parents, to be honest, have you got any tips for in terms of how they could go about developing those relationships?
Yeah, I think, especially with the coaches, like the coach is the person in the middle, like they've got the players. That will be talking to them. They'll have their supervisor or whoever the club hierarchy talking to them, and parents. So the coaches are kind of in the middle. The parents, they'll most probably just get it from the kids. The kids will most probably just get it from the parents and so on. So there needs to be a bit more kind of awareness of that situation. And especially for the coaches, you need to understand, like, it's not done purposely, but you are that point of contact in speech marks. So it's like you are going to get a lot of questions. You're going to get put in a lot of situations, but it's just very important that you understand that parents do have the right to kind of ask you what they want respectfully and politely. And likewise, you just do the same. You just be very professional, be very courteous. If you don't know the information, you're not even comfortable saying it to them, or you don't feel you're the point to say to them, just like, listen, I've got your thing, I've jotted it down, I'm going to get back to you in the evening via email, so it's nice and official. And then you just put it on who you feel is decision making, because 8 times out of 10 it's not really the coach that's making them decisions. So it's kind of a philosophy of the club or how the club is run, which is very important to stay in control of the situations and don't get too emotional, because normally from my experience the parents come with a lot of emotion. So if you add a lot of emotion to the situation as well, it's not a good recipe. So just kind of take everything with a pinch of salt and be calm and collected about it and do your best to advise the parents?
Yeah, for me, like, so twofold. Firstly, for the parents, just to like kind of piggyback on the last bit that Anna just said there, in terms of if you do see things that you're not necessarily happy with within the environment, it's really, and I understand it because you care for this, you care for your child and you want the best for your child all the time, but try not to react with so much emotion and actually try to get some reason as to why something has been done from naturally. If there is no structure, you've got to go to the coach as your first point of contact, and he may send you to someone else who is more appropriate to answer those sort of questions that you have. So it's really, really important that you try, and it's hard because I know that when you bring your child to the session, you're bringing your child. You're not like really acknowledging the other kids that are involved in it, but is try and see the situation as a whole, as opposed to your kid has just done, I don't know, 2-3 less minutes than another kid that's playing in that position as well. And in terms of coaches that may be particularly worried about it, precaution can sometimes be better than cure. So if you feel that you are confident enough yet, in an environment where there may not be this such structure in place, it's really, really important that you do bring it up, and you bring it up to potentially the chairman of the club to try and get that organised, and try and get some sort of communication system organised so that parents are aware of what they can come to their coaches to ask. And if they, and sometimes it may be that they want to talk about problems with the coaches. So like if it is that, then you need to start challenging your chairmans of your clubs to try and make an appropriate communication system where that they know what they can come to you about, and if it's things that are out of your control, they should go to the person that instilled these changes. And just in terms of the ones that don't necessarily have the voice yet to do so, it's just really, really important that whatever you're doing, and I know that we always say that you need to be free and try to learn from things. Whatever you're doing, just remember that that's someone's child that you're taking care of within your session, and you should treat like every kid like is your own every time. Because if you start neglecting one kid in the group just because you don't feel they're as good as the best player in the group, it can be a problem. And you are not the be all decider of who's going to be good and who's not going to be good when they grow up, because that's not how development is. Development is non-linear. So it doesn't necessarily mean just because this kid ain't necessarily good now that you should put less effort supporting them as you would with the best players in the group. Because in fact, you may actually start to see that kid overtakes them. So you'll never know that unless you try your best to support everyone in the group as much as you can.
100%. And I think just on that then, what would, have you had, can you share any experience, and this goes to both of you guys, any experiences that, you've maybe, of things that you maybe implemented in the past which helps the parent to support the player? Because I think a lot of, I keep coming back to this, and a lot of parents, I mean, I've never met a parent that hasn't got good intentions, but maybe they're just ill-experienced or ill-advised or lack awareness around how to support the individual. Have you got any experiences that you could share around what kind of things you've maybe, like I said, implemented or supported parents with in terms of being able to support the players away from, I guess, the whole concept of them not potentially not playing enough minutes or them not playing in the right positions, aside from all that sort of stuff? Is there any examples that you could share with us there?
Yeah, go on, Albus. Are you sure? For me, in the previous club, this wasn't implemented. Yes.
So, Ben, hold 1 second, yeah? Someone's at my door. Okay. 2 seconds, yeah? Pause you there.
We'll edit that out. This is going to be the bloopers. still doing deliveries at this time.
Yeah, no, but I think it helped. I think it helped.
No, no, I feel it definitely does. Because honestly, the guy that I'm talking about, like, he's a proper, like, geezer. Like, he has, like, 5 teeth in his mouth and them sort of guys. Yeah, but he comes to me correct.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on, Ben.
Yeah, so, like, one of the sort of initiatives that I started, because I didn't see it within the club, I just started doing it within my age group, is started doing, like, sort of post-match reflections. And I made it, before I gave it to the players, I made all the parents to just come in for, like, a quick CPD after the session, just to talk to them about, like, you're involved in this as well. Not that you're implementing your insight into how you felt they played, but you're trying to get them to talk more about how they played. So that is independent of what minutes you got and stuff like this. Like, so it was like a series of questions that some were multiple choice, some required you to do some writing about, like,
Can you give us an example?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it would be stuff like how. What are some of the things that you thought that you done well in possession? What are some of the things you thought you done well out of possession? What are some of the things that you would like to work on in possession? What are some of the things you like to work on out of possession? What do you think that you brought to the team today? What are the
So these are essentially questions that you'd be supplying the parents with to maybe quiz the players on post games. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yeah. So, like, imagine if, like, the game's on a... Let's say the game's on a Saturday, and then the corresponding Monday training session, I would expect it to be done and brought in. And I put the onus not only on the player, but I put it on the parent as well. Because some of the players may say to me that, you know, their parents weren't involved and stuff like this. And even though they've done it, so then it's just a challenge to the parents, because before they... It's like an inverted challenge to the parents. That's that before you come up to me about that, have you got an insight from your child about what's going on, as opposed to what you're seeing from the side or the outside of it?
Yeah. So your strategy is essentially provide the parents with some, I guess, tools in the form of questions in this respect, where they can maybe gain some of that insight.
Yes.
Okay. And what I guess initially, you know, putting into practice, were there any hesitation, or resistance from parents in the initial stages of that?
Not at all, because I don't. I think previous to that, they didn't necessarily have anything extra other than just coming to the training sessions and matches. So it was kind of a welcome initiative for them, and obviously that it kind of at the same time helps with the players' post-match sort of reflections and not just looking at matches that, like, it's just another opportunity for you to learn.
Yeah. Ahmed, how about yourself? You had anything similar or?
Yeah, I don't think parents realize how important their role is. Literally, it's just as, if not more important than the coach or the club. And I think it goes back to a lot of statistics with ethnic minority backgrounds, because a lot of our parents, like from Arab background or Asian background, our parents didn't really back us with sports. And that's why we're so, we don't have a large representation in professional sports, in my opinion, because just when you just have your dad standing behind you and he backs you, he's not pushing you, but he's just, you know, he's okay with what you're doing and he supports you. That's a massive leg up. And the role is really, really important. It's so important. Like, if you come down too hard on your kid and they're not used to that or they can't handle that, your kid's not going to make it. If you're too softly, but you see your kid needs a bit of a kick up the bum, you know, it's a really, really important role, the role of the parent. And I think parents need more education when it comes to supporting their child in whatever sport they're going to. Like, in football as well, it is a very, very competitive industry. And I think any help that clubs can give to parents, it should be given. And what the example Ben just gave is really good, of like the types of questions you can ask. Well, I think it just comes back to the basic things. You know, did you enjoy your day today? How was it? You know, what part did you... It's just the basics of it.
Because quite often, if you think about it, you know, stereotypically, and if
we generalize it a little bit. What kind of, you know, the types of questions you usually get after the game as well? Did you score?
Yeah.
Did you win?
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, yeah. They're based on specific outcomes.
Did you have fun? It should be things like, did you have fun? Did you enjoy yourself?
I think third voice is it.
Are you handling that situation really well?
I think go down the path of even, you know, what did you learn today? Did you observe anything that someone else did on the pitch that which you feel like is something that you might want to add to your game? And
if you notice some questions that you're asking and I'm asking, they're literally just questions just to get the child to talk, and eventually
they'll fill in the gaps.
Just kind of tell you what they want. Yeah, they'll fill in the gaps and you'll kind of see whether it was a good day, what went
interesting because, you know, so I've come across a coach once before who actually put together like a series of questions. It's like a question card, like a survey almost for his parents to ask the players about on the way home. So that was their task on the way home, you know, rather than talking about the general, did you win or how many goals did you score or whatever that might look like. It's actually, what did you learn today? You know, what did you think you did really well today? Is there anything that you saw that you could have improved on? Is there anything that you saw a member of your position team doing that you thought, actually, that was really good, I really like that, or something along those, you know, really just trying to provoke thought and spark insight within the player around some of the observations they've made.
No, it's a very, very important role to parent. Very, very important.
No, 100%. I think, you know, a lot of parents underestimate how much impact they can have. But I think also, equally, I think a lot of coaches underestimate how much impact the parents can have. And how much of an importance it is to have those parents on side and, I guess, in sync with what you as a coach are doing. So, I mean, for me, you know, some of the things that you guys have touched on throughout this discussion so far around, essentially, it's about building those relations with the parents, making them see it from both sides of the spectrum, you know, letting them feel valued and understood in their opinions and their thoughts, but also equally exposing them and shedding some light on your side of things. And if appropriate, then another perspective from, like, maybe the club's perspective or how other parents may see it, or do you know what I mean? I think it's very important for coaches to have those discussions with their parents as honestly and open as possible.
Yeah, you know, it needs to be done more of. Like, even me, like, I'm from an Arab background. I'm anticipating, hopefully, when I do eventually put my finger out and get my own setup going, I'm going to have maybe a lot of Arab parents. So I know what Arabs are like. I'm not going to let the coaches handle them.
Are you then not doing the coaches who are, I guess, under your, within your organisation, an injustice?
No, because I've experienced it and I know what, and I know the mentality that a lot of, you know, certain parents from backgrounds come with, and it's like you just can't win, and it's just going to be a waste of time. It's going to be unproductive, and I don't want people to work for me or with me, and have to spend most of their time just.
But aren't these skills that are going to be transferable for them throughout their careers?
Yeah, it will be, but in terms of their enjoyment of being at work, I don't think it's a good thing. I think if anything, it will. Not want people to work.
Are you not? Like, I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate. But by doing that, are you not ridding them with some of the opportunities that they could potentially come across to actually still then feel like, actually, you know, is this something I've dealt with before? And, you know, how do you know 5-6 years down the line they've gone into a more senior realm, not having had that experience because you've decided to take that step? And again, there's no right or wrong here. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah. No, I absolutely hear you. I reckon it still will happen regardless of whatever measures I try and implement, because parents...
So should you then not let the coaches deal with it?
Like, if I say... Yeah, but then obviously there's going to be some aspect of training for them how to handle it. Like, I'm not just going to throw them in the deep end and be like, listen, you know, whatever happens, happens. No, if this happens, this is how you handle it. You know, first and foremost, listen, you've clearly been instructed... You know, if you have any concerns like this, you need to ask the parent liaison or thingy, and et cetera, because you know when parents are going to ask, they're either going to be during a match or during a session. Yeah? And it's just time that you're just detracting from the coach spending with the children and getting them playing more or working whatever it is.
So I guess on that note then, you know, how important is it then that within, I guess, a code of conduct or a series or set of, I guess, principles for the environment that you're involved in, that these things are considered within that?
Yes, like Ben said, it's like a zero tolerance. It's like, If you toe that line from the start, listen, if you want to join this club, if your kid wants to play here, if you want to be a participant, if you have any complaints, they're more than welcome, but they don't get spoken to the coach during sessions or during match days.
Mm.
It's either before or after. Yeah, preferably before. And it should be with the person that's the direct contact for these problems.
Mm.
Because that person should know everything that's going on. And that's normally the person.
Yeah, just to echo what Ahmed's saying, regardless of academy, grassroots or not, like before anyone joins whatever organisation is, there should be a code of conduct in place for the players and the parents to sign and agree that they're going to adhere to. And, with that, you can instill, such laws like that, that like, if you want to communicate with the coach about, whatever the specific information is, this has to be done before or after sessions and matches and stuff like that, so that, there's already a structure in place, because I feel like the sort of problems that Ahmed was talking about in the past arises just because, no one has told him they can't do that before. No one's told him they can't just come up to him and, shout in his face and all that. And so, I feel like, if something's in there about, you treat all the staff with respect and due diligence, and, if they do, then breach it, then, there may be a specific sort of disciplinary procedure to go through.
Yeah. Right, guys, listen, again, it's been another very interesting discussion. We're going to kind of lead into part two on the next show. We're going to discuss this, how to deal with parents and some of the challenges that we face with parents on a deeper level, as well as, providing some insight referring to, some academic studies that have been conducted on the back of that. But again, it's been a great discussion today. If you guys can just let listeners know where they can get in touch with you, if they've got any questions or if they've got any, points they want to raise.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, if you want to get in contact with me on Twitter or Instagram, it's secondbest22. That's 2nd.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with me, you can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at FocusBXN. That's FocusBXN.
And guys, if you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on Instagram at The Coaches Network or on Twitter at The Coaches Net. Until next time, guys, take care.
Take care.
Have a great day. Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning to another edition of The Coaches Network podcast. I've no doubt you've enjoyed it as much as we have. Now that you've got a way to contact all the guys, we look forward to seeing some comments and questions around today's show. And don't forget, head over to the platform that you found this edition on and leave us a 5-star review and let everybody know how awesome the show is. We read all comments, good or bad, so leave that comment for us, and take care, everyone. Until next time.
The Coaches Network, bringing the game together.